This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Plenty to be talking about in the next hour. We'll be keeping our attention with the first few clubs right at the top of the Championship table. One of the surprise packages of the season has been Nottingham Forest, second in the table on 22 points. How well have they started to life under Sabri Lamouchi? We'll also talk about West Brom, the side that are just above Nottingham Forest, that have pit them to top spot on the same number of points. How impressively is Slaven Bilic doing at West Brom? We'll also be talking about Blackburn, kind of middle of the table, a bit of an indifferent start. Starts the year. Tony Mowbray's been talking about how it's a new team full of lots of new players. It will take time to integrate these players. We'll also be continuing to talk about managers on the hot seat. Reading and Barnsley on the lookout for new managers, but Nathan Jones is still at Stoke. Is that a miracle, or is he starting to win over the Stoke board? This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So this is the Championship Fan Show. If you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We want to hear from you this afternoon. As I mentioned, throughout the hour, we're going to be talking about Nottingham Forest, West Brom and Blackburn. So any fans of those clubs, make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Before we talk about some of the managers under pressure and managers that have already gone from the Championship, we were talking in the last hour about a number of Premier League managers under pressure who might be leaving. Marco Silva, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Mauricio Pochettino are certainly some of the managers under pressure. In the Championship, obviously, we've already seen a number of managers already leave. Near the beginning of the season, Huddersfield decided Jan Sievert wasn't their man. Just a matter of a couple of games into the season. Seems strange why they didn't just do that over the summer. Danny Cowley's gone in and has won his last couple of games, starting to gain a bit of momentum, have what we call that bounce. A couple of other teams have recently got rid of their managers. Barnsley have sacked Daniel Stendel. He was treated, actually, a day after his sacking to a night out at a pub in Barnsley with some of the fans to thank him for getting them promoted from League One into the Championship. Reading decided the other day that José Gómez wasn't their man for the job. And Neil Harris resigned as the Millwall manager. So there are plenty of vacancies. Obviously, the names that get thrown around are kind of the usual names. Chris Hughton is an interesting one. Obviously, left Brighton at the end of last season. Sacked, I think, is probably the terminology for it. Graham Potter replaced him at the Amex Stadium. And he's been linked with a number of these jobs. Whether Chris Hughton would drop down to a Reading or a Barnsley who are currently in the relegation zone, I don't think so. Because I think Chris Hughton's a very good Championship manager, and I think we'll perhaps be eyeing a slightly better job without wanting to sound disrespectful to some of those clubs. Phil Parkinson is a man that's been mentioned with a few of those jobs as well. One team that hasn't made the decision to change the manager, surprisingly, are Stoke. Nathan Jones, despite the fact that after the defeat to Huddersfield, was rather sombre, rather honest about his assessment, saying he had gambled with his wife's life, he had gambled with his coach's lives, and he'd thrown it all away. And despite that honest assessment, he's still in the job. Perhaps that win away at Swansea City, which no one could have predicted. I mean, Swansea currently fourth in the table, losing to a side at home, to a side that haven't won a game this season, and Swansea were ahead inside of the opening minute, showed some real resilience from that Stoke side, that maybe the players are still behind the manager despite what is going on at the moment. But it's tough times for Stoke. But as it stands, Nathan Jones is still in that job. The question ultimately, though, is for how much longer will he be there? Stoke are currently bottom of the table in 24, 5 points from their first 11 games. But they did get that first win, and you wonder whether they can start to gain a little bit of momentum post the international break. Perhaps the international break didn't come at the right time for them. They host Fulham up next after the international break. Nathan Jones has said that a culture of blaming and not really caring at Stoke is now starting to turn. So maybe that win against Swansea could be the turning point for not just Stoke, but for Nathan Jones's tenure at the club as well. So plenty of teams have already made that decision. Obviously, Sheffield Wednesday have appointed Gary Monk. They went into the season with a temporary manager. They appointed Gary Monk. They're currently eighth, so they've made an impressive start as well. How quickly will Reading and Barnsley make the changes? Obviously, we're in an international break, so they've got time to assess the options to make the best call for them. We spoke to a Reading fan yesterday about how it's been ninth appointment in 10 years, and it's been so much inconsistency and a lack of continuity at the club. They need to go and get the right appointments, perhaps take a little bit longer to make that appointment. But if there was ever a time to make a decision to change the manager and to take your time, this is that moment. International break and only 11 games into a 46-game season. Plenty of time to still turn things around for Reading and Barnsley, both in the relegation zone, but still plenty of time to turn things around if they make the right appointment. If there are any Stoke fans out there, Barnsley, Reading fans, for Barnsley, Reading fans, who do you want to see take over at your club? Stoke fans, is Nathan Jones still the man? Will he still be in charge by the next international break? Call us on 0208 702558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Up next, we'll be turning our attention to one of the surprise packages of the Championship table so far. They're second in the table on 22 points. We'll be talking all Nottingham Forest next. Love Sport. This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 2558 if you want to share your views on how your Championship club has started the new season. I'm sure our next guest will be pretty happy with Nottingham Forest's start to the season. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Baz Cooper, journalist at the Nottingham Post. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Baz. Nottingham Forest, joint top of the table, in second on goal difference by one. But what an impressive start it's been. It's now 10 unbeaten for them. It's been a mightily impressive start by Nottingham Forest.
Hi, Kieran. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it really has. I think it's caught a few people by surprise. I think that's fair to say. You know, Forest haven't challenged at the top end of the Championship for quite a while now, as we all know. And I think, given the amount of changes in the management seat, in the dressing room with players coming and going, I think there was an element of caution at the start of the season, it's fair to say, but the way Sabri Lamouchi has adapted to life in England, in the Championship, which is a different beast altogether, has been really quite interesting. And as you say, 10 games unbeaten, they've not looked like being beaten in too many of those, whilst also not being anywhere near their best so far. So I think it augurs well for the next four or five games up until the next international break in November.
What did you make, Baz, of the appointment at the time of Sabri Lamouchi? Was it the fact that the Nottingham Forest fans, a lot of them, didn't necessarily know a huge amount about him? And could you have foreseen how impressive it's been? Or were you expecting a slightly slower start, a slightly more gradual improvement in Forest as the season went along?
To be honest, personally, I didn't know what to expect because I remember him as a player for Auxerre. He played, you know, he played in the French national team and was unlucky, by all accounts, not to be in the France squad that won the World Cup in '98. But as a manager, his record is, I don't want to be disrespectful, but he's not got a hugely great record in management. He's still young in management, of course, and you know, to come and manage in the Championship is no tall order. It's a tall order. It's a big challenge. And I think what he's done is he's made it very easy for the players. His training sessions, I gather, are really intense, but really clear. His instructions that he gives to the players are really simple, which is what you need. And that's not, you don't need to overcomplicate things. And I think sometimes some managers are guilty of overcomplicating things and giving players too many instructions, too many things to do whilst out on the pitch. And Lamouchi doesn't seem to do that. I think in terms of Forest supporters, again, cautious optimism, I would say. That Martin O'Neill's appointment wasn't widely accepted, despite him being a European Cup winner at the club and a legend of the Brian Clough era. You know, and years ago, Forest fans would have given anything to have Martin O'Neill in his pomp managing the football club. So when he went, it wasn't a huge surprise. I think it was probably the right decision, looking back on it. But yeah, look, who knew what to expect? Because again, there were so many new players that arrived. Players went, players arrived, players that we weren't aware of. There was Michael Dawson that came back and was fit. Joe Worrell returned from Rangers. They proved to be superb in the central defence. Who could have foreseen Ben Watson's return to form. He looked like his career may have been coming to an end at the club under Ita Karanka and then Martin O'Neill, but he's the first name on the team sheet now, and there's other players, Samba Sow, Alfa Semedo, that have arrived and they're getting the best out of him. Of course, Joe Lolley and Lewis Grab in there also too. So they've got a really good mix and blend of players in their side, and they seem to have a bit of everything when it comes to certainly playing away from home, that's for sure.
Do you think it's helped Forrest and Lerucci this season, the fact that they have gone under the radar? Not many people would have expected Forrest to be at this point. When they beat Stoke a few weeks ago, it was the first time in 5 years that Forrest had been top of the Championship table. So was that sense of not much expectation, do you think that's aided Forrest's good start to the season?
Possibly nationally. I think locally and within the football club, there's always expectation. Forrest are a big club, depending on what you determine as a big club. But they're averaging just under 28,000 every week again at the City Ground, just as they did last year. So there's always expectation at the club. It's 20 years now since they've been in the Premier League, but fans, that hasn't kind of dampened fans' expectation at all. If anything, it grows. And I think, so it's really hard to say, but I think nationally, yes, they have gone under the radar. Now, winning at Stoke and Swansea and Fulham going top of the league, now second going into, they'll be second going into the weekend, and having seen Lamucci win Manager of the Month today, I think other people around the country are going to start taking notice, and maybe in some ways other teams in the Championship might start to take notice of Forrest and. I don't want to say afford them a bit more respect, because that's almost disrespectful saying they weren't in the first place. But what Forest have shown, certainly away from home this season, they're unbeaten, is that they don't necessarily have to play well, and they can be outplayed for long periods of games and then still get a result. I think back to the Charlton game and to the first 45 minutes at the Valley, they were battered, and the media staff at half time were saying this is the best Charlton performance we've seen since the club were in the Premier League. Forest were only 1-0 down, and they came back in the game and found a way to get a point from that game. And we sat at the end of the game going, well, Charlton have played, that's the best Charlton have played since they were in the Premier League, but yet they've not beaten Forest, and Forest have still got out of there with a point. They've gone to Leeds and got come under an awful lot of pressure and got a point. They've gone to Fulham and won, they've gone to Swansea and won, they've gone to Stoke, as we saw on just a couple of weeks ago, and won. So they've got something about them. They're gritty, and whatever you say, they're playing for this manager.
Two men that you've already mentioned that have impressed this season so far for Forest: Lewis Graben has scored 5 goals. Joe Lolley has scored 4. How key a partnership are they forming at the moment? And are they players that, obviously, are still a long way to go in the season, but are they players that are potentially good enough to play Premier League football?
It's difficult to say, isn't it? Who knows? I mean, Lewis Graben has been a top championship striker for a long time. Whether Lewis can make a step up to the Premier League, only time will tell on that. Certainly, Joe Lolley, he's got tremendous ability, and he's still relatively young at that. So you'd fancy that if he doesn't play Premier League football with Nottingham Forest, he will with somebody else, maybe Aston Villa. But yeah, they've got good players that. Graben and Lolley are two match winners on their day. We've seen that time and time again. The worry I have, and I think if you spoke to most observers, they would agree that if Lewis Graben was to get injured, they're woefully light in that part of the pitch. They have Rafa Mir on loan from Wolves, who's yet to be proven in English football. He's been out injured also at Forest for a month or so. You've got young Tyler Walker, once again banging goals in League One, this time with Lincoln City, but he's out on loan for the year. If Graben was to pick up a knock, let's say at Wigan next Sunday afternoon, Forest have got themselves a problem. Yes, they have plenty of players that can play, in and around the front part of the pitch. They've got Albert Adoma, as we mentioned, Joe Lolley, João Carvalho, Thiago Silva, Sammy Amiobi can play up there, but they haven't got a Lewis Graben. And so if he was to get injured, they'd have a problem certainly that they couldn't address until January the earliest. But yeah, clearly two pivotal players. And whether they can play in the Premier League, who knows? I don't see any why not. Lewis Graben can score goals. He's still only early 30s. He's not, I'm careful what I say here, because I'm 35 and I don't feel over the hill. But in football terms, he's getting to that stage. But, he deserves his chance if he can fire Forest to the top flight. Who's to say that Lewis Graben can't, can't score goals in the Premier League. His game is certainly tailored for it.
A man that has made the loan move from the Premier League down into the Championship is Aaron Muric from Manchester City on loan to Nottingham Forest. When I look at the lineup the other day against Brentford, he was on the bench and Samba was in goal instead. I saw at the beginning of the season he made a number of kind of high-profile errors right at the beginning of the season. Has he slightly underwhelmed Nottingham Forest fans? Was there more expected of him considering he was coming on loan from Manchester City?
I think you'd have to say that fans expected more of him. Certainly the two mistakes that we often talk about were the goals against West Brom, and that led to defeat on the opening night, and that's Forest's only defeat in the league so far this season. But I think Muric is still only young, and yes, he's highly rated at Manchester City and by Pep Guardiola and the staff over there, and that's fine, and he clearly is talented. But playing in under-23 football, playing against Burton Albion in the Carabao Cup and other Carabao Cup ties is nothing quite like playing, in the game that is the Championship. It's a totally different kettle of fish. The atmosphere, the pressure on points, there's so much goes into it, and it's difficult to prepare a player for that when they've been at a Premier League club for so long. I'm not saying he's been there forever, because he's obviously only a young goalkeeper, but in his football career he's been there and hasn't had the experience of playing high-profile fixtures that mean an awful lot at Championship level. So, I think it's going to take time. Did we expect a bit more? Yes, possibly. But also, Bryce Samba has come from French football, where he was also very highly rated. He's got that bit more experience. And Forest defence look a bit more solid, a bit more comfortable with Samba in goal. But we're just running a web chat on the Nottingham Post website as we speak, and quite a few of the questions that have come in this afternoon have been about Aaron Muric and whether, because he's not playing, whether Manchester City would look to recall him in January. I don't see why they would, because he's not going to play for them, bar the odd cup game. And Bryce Samba could get injured in training this week, for example, and Samba could be in at Wigan and in the team for the foreseeable future. So things can change quickly, and he needs experience of being in and around the Championship club and away from the luxury that it is that will be Manchester City and training there.
And just finally, Baz, you look at the next four games for Forest. It looks like an opportunity to continue this unbeaten run away at Wigan, home to Hull, home to Reading, away at Luton. Will that one sound disrespectful to some of those clubs, considering that Forest haven't lost since the first day of the season? This is a good opportunity to extend that run from 10 to 14 games.
It is, and of course, before the international break, we've got the small matter of Derby County coming to the City Ground as well. So there's five games before the break that could really, really, they could really stamp their authority on the league and cement their place in the top six. Now, look, again, it's a difficult one, isn't it? If you'd looked at the start of the season, you'd looked at the fixtures that Forest had: Fulham away, Swansea away, Leeds away, Birmingham at home. There's some difficult fixtures. Brentford at home again. There's some difficult fixtures in there, but they've come through that unscathed, unbeaten, and with some big, big wins under their belt. So, yeah, on paper, the next four or five games look favourable. Luton away, Hull at home, Reading at home, Wigan away next weekend. Yes, great, great chance. But historically, Forest slip up against the teams lower down the table, the teams that you would expect them to beat, where maybe the emphasis is on Forest to go out and stand their authority on the game rather than sit back like away at Swansea or Fulham and soak up the pressure. At Wigan on Sunday, people will go there. There's going to be potentially 3,500, 4,000 Forest fans travelling up to Lancashire for that one. And they'll be expecting Forest to come out and produce a dominant performance, because Forest is second in the table. Now, and because they are where they are on the table, there's a different pressure on them now. There's a different expectation. It's whether they can deal with that. And I have no reason to believe that Lamucci would change anything. He's a rounded guy. He knows what he wants. He's very clear in his thinking, and as I said before, in his instructions to his players. But yeah, as you mentioned, those fixtures, they look tasty on paper. But as we know, the Championship is a tough mistress, and if you're not at it, you'll get beaten no matter who you're playing, where you're playing. If you're not 100% at it, if your players aren't focused on the job in hand and respectful of their opposition, they will come unstuck and they will get beaten.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Baz. That was Baz Cooper, a journalist at the Nottingham Post, giving his views on Forest's impressive start. Second in the table on 22 points, level on points with leaders West Brom. And they have been the surprise package. They kind of tried to replicate Wolves with their expenditure last season. Didn't work. Marcin O'Neill lost his job. They've gone with Sabri Lamouchi, who didn't necessarily kind of excite a huge number of fans, but he's done a very good job so far. And as I said, a good run coming up for Forest, an opportunity to extend their 10-match unbeaten run. Any Forest fans out there want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We'll be talking next about the side that is currently just above them, pipping them to top sport, all things West Brom.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. Share your views on your Championship club's start to the season. We're going to be talking now about the side that is currently sat atop the Championship table. That is West Brom. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by Joseph Massey, West Brom reporter for The Express and Star. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Joseph. Top of the table, 22 points at this moment in time. Level on points with Forest, but top on goal difference. Slaven Bilic couldn't be happier, could he?
No, mate. Thanks for having me, first and foremost. But yeah, you're right. No, he couldn't be happier. And Albion fans couldn't be happier at the minute. It is going very, very well, to say the least. It has been an overall fantastic start to the season. 11 games in. The only defeat was at Leeds a couple of weeks ago, which was a really unfortunate one in the end. They absolutely dominated the second half, Albion. They just couldn't sort of create that moment, really, to get the draw they deserved from that display. But yeah, overall, it's just going very, very well. Slaven Bilic appointed in the summer, and next to no time, he's put together a team that's just so wonderfully balanced. And going forward, they're playing a 4-2-3-1 formation, and in that three behind the striker, behind Charlie Austin, they've got three players who are in absolutely outstanding form. Grady Diangana on the left, on loan from West Ham. Mateus Pereira in the hole, who just everyone seems to be talking about at the minute. He's a Brazilian on loan from Sporting Lisbon, just a wonderful, wonderful footballer. And Matt Phillips on the right, and you just think with those three players on form, if they maintain that form, or if two or three of them are playing well each week, you're going to find it hard really to see teams that can live with them. They are that good going forward.
When you look back at West Brom's summer transfer business, as you mentioned, they signed Grady Diangana on loan from West Ham. They brought in Charlie Austin. They also signed Kenneth Zahor from Cardiff, as you mentioned, also Mateus Pereira. Was that evident from last season, considering neither Dwight Gayle nor James Rodriguez, that they're no longer at West Brom? Maybe West Brom fans thought he was James Rodriguez, that they needed a number of players to come in an attacking sense to fill that void?
I think it's just, yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, they've lost 40 goals there in those two players. I mean, Dwight Gayle, in particular, I mean, Albion fans are still talking about him now. He was fantastic for them last season. Jay Rodriguez, the same, of course. But look, as well as those players did, there's no doubt about it, they did fantastically well. There was an over-reliance on them. But that was the way they were set up last year. Slaven Bilic, completely different. I mean, there's been some crazy stats going around. I don't know if you've seen them, that Charlie Austin scored against Cardiff last week. That was his first league goal of the season. It's the first goal a striker scored this season from open play, which when you think Albion are top of the league, they've only lost once, and they've only had one goal from a striker in open play. It's remarkable, really, but it's the way Slaven Bilic has set them up in this 4-2-3-1. Goals are literally coming from everywhere. I think I'm right in saying they're the only team in the Championship where practically every player has scored. The team that finished against Cardiff last weekend, every one of the outfield players scored in that team. And that pattern will continue throughout the season. It's all about balance for Bilic, rather than being reliant on those two players like they were last season, of course, which is so risky. If one or two of them picked up injuries, then you're in real trouble. Where you look with this Albion squad, the strength and depth is incredible. And if they do pick up an injury, look, it'd be a disaster if Pereira got injured or Diangana got injured. But they still, even if they did, you'd still like to think they'd have players who could come in and help them continue the way they have, which has been playing some absolutely breathtaking football.
When Slaven Bilic was appointed, was he the man that you thought could lead West Brom back into the Premier League? Kind of most of the way through last season, Darren Moore looked like he was in a good position to take West Brom up, and then obviously it all unfolded. He lost his job. Jimmy Shan couldn't take them up as caretaker manager. So when Bilic was the man decided to be the next West Brom manager? Was there the real strong belief and strong confidence before the season started that he was going to be the man at the helm that's going to take West Brom back into the Premier League?
It's a good, very good question. It's hard to say, really. I think this is a massive, massive job for Bilic. He obviously did very, very well in his first season at West Ham, but the second season obviously didn't go to plan. He ended up losing his job there, and it's in Saudi Arabia, his last job wasn't the best. So he knows what a massive job this is for him personally. I think everyone knew this summer was a massive rebuilding job. Look, West Brom were one of the biggest clubs in the division. Of course, they are with the biggest attendances. So some of the biggest attendances. So look, they very much expect to be competing at the top end of the division. It's where naturally they should be. But it was a big turnaround in the summer. Like we said, key players, big names departed. And there was sort of a break in transfer policy. It's a mixture at Albion. There's a technical director called Luke Dowland, who's done very, very well in the transfer market in terms of signing players from this country. Shami Ajayi has come in from Rotherham and done outstandingly at centre-back. Romain Sawyers, for example, came in from Brentford. They've sort of looped down in silence and have come into the side seamlessly. They've had fantastic starts to the season. But then, of course, you've got the Bilic factor. He knew Mateus Pereira from watching him in Germany. He obviously knows Grady Diangana from West Ham. So it's hard to say whether fans were sort of expected them to go up this season or whether they'd expected, but they probably wouldn't have expected them to start this well. But a combination of factors. Everything's come together, it feels like. It's a really, really happy camp. And everyone who's been brought in is working really well with the people who are already there. So far, so good. I mean, it's just a case of so far, so good. It genuinely couldn't be going any better.
One man that's been, young man, has been singled out for praise from his manager is Nathan Ferguson. The young fullback has been praised highly by Bilic, said that obviously from his days at West Ham, when he saw the emergence of Declan Rice, obviously played in different positions, but a similar type of young player. Do you think Bilic is the right man to try and kind of get that young lad kind of developed over the next couple of years? And do you think he, having seen him at the start of this season, that he has the ability to go on to become a pretty exciting England player of the future?
You say, is Bilic the right man? He's the only man. It's an absolutely fantastic story with Nathan Ferguson. It really is. Bilic was appointed in the summer, obviously, and he was effectively told he was going to have to sign two right-backs, which one, of course, they brought in Darnell Furlong, who's also done brilliantly this season. But it took Bilic literally two training sessions, for him to notice Ferguson. This is a player who's 18 years old, who'd previously been in the academy. Look, people at the club had high hopes for him, but he wasn't involved in that first team setup. And two training sessions later, Bilic has turned around and said, "We're not signing two right backs, we're signing one." And he is playing for me. That lad is straight into the team. And it's remarkable, Bilic's eye, to spot that. And it's remarkable how Ferguson has gone on and just been an absolute revelation. He started at right back. He's come through the academy incredibly as a centre-back. He's always played centre-back. Bilic immediately turned him into a right-back. That's where he played the first couple of games of the season. And then there's just a catalogue of injuries at left-back. Kieran Gibbs and Connor Townsend both picked up knocks, Albion's two left-backs, ruling them out for roughly 5 weeks. They practically picked up those knocks within days of each other. So Bilic switched Ferguson to left-back. Every challenge he's faced with, he just passes it with flying colours. He's just been absolutely outstanding at left back. Scored at QPR a couple of weeks ago, just sort of picked the ball up on the halfway, drove into the space and found the bottom corner from 25 yards. And this is a kid who, I mean, he was 18 years old when he made his debut. He's 19 years old now. He celebrated his birthday last week. But I mean, it's an unbelievable find, really, from Bilic, even though he was already at the club. And yeah, I mean, it's a cliche, but the world is literally at his feet. I mean, I've interviewed him a couple of times. He's absolutely lovely, so headstrong, really, really down-to-earth young man. So versatile, obviously. He can play centre-back, right-back, left-back. And yeah, he's gaining attention. I mean, we've had Dougie Friedman from Crystal Palace at games watching him for the past couple of weeks. Already people are talking about, like, sort of big transfer fees for him, but He is in contract negotiations with Albion. Everything I hear is that they're progressing really, really well. And fingers crossed they'll sign that deal, because obviously there's nothing fun to have more than one on their own. And Nathan Ferguson is one on their own. He's been at the club since he was 8 years old, and he's just doing wonderfully, wonderfully well.
And just finally then, Joseph, as I mentioned, 11 games in, top of the table. Does it really come as a surprise that West Brom are in this position? And does it just confirm what everyone was saying at the beginning of the season, that West Brom were right up there as one of the favourites to get promoted?
I think, everyone expects West Brom to be up there because of the size of the club. But things are going better than the league table suggests, if that's possible. I know they're top, but they're only joint top with Nottingham Forest. But look, if you're an Albion fan at the moment, you're absolutely overjoyed, because it's a style of play more than anything. I mean, it's dangerous at times. I think they've conceded in the vast majority of games they've played. I think QPR is the only clean sheet off the top of my head. Remarkable game against Cardiff last weekend, where after 71 minutes, they were 3-0 up and Cardiff didn't lay a glove on them. And then before you knew it, it was 3-2. And it suddenly got a little bit anxious. It's thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly entertaining football to watch. It is a little bit too nerve-wracking at times. But with players like Dean Garner Pereira, it's so entertaining. So I think it's going very well. It's going to be a real tight race, isn't it? Those top two positions, I mean, Fulham lead. It's going to be so tight to see who gets them. But I'm very, very confident Albion are going to be in the race for those top two positions. And yeah, fingers crossed they can be the ones that get over the line.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Joseph. That was Joseph Massey, West Brom reporter for The Express and Star, talking about the Baggies' impressive start to the season. One of the most highly anticipated sides going into the season, highly tipped sides, and they're certainly delivering on that in the first 11 games of the season. A couple of bits of news to bring you from the Championship, both in relation to Millwall. We believe that they are interested in speaking to Gareth Ainsworth, the current Wickham manager. They'd be interested in him taking over after Neil Harris's resignation in the last couple of weeks. Sunderland are among the other sides who have been linked with Ainsworth, with suggestions he could swap sides before the teams meet in League One in 2 weeks' time. But Millwall have registered their interest in Gareth Ainsworth. Also, another bit of Millwall news to do with their ground, and they have warmly welcomed news that a land agreement which threatens their future at the Den will be terminated by the local council. The Championship club had considered relocation during a long-running dispute with Lewisham Council, but on Thursday, the council announced the removal of a conditional land sale agreement for areas around the stadium to Property Developers Renewal. The decision now allows Millwall to move forward with redevelopment proposals. So, positive news on the stadium front for Millwall, and potentially could Gareth Ainsworth be the man to come in at Millwall? Any Millwall fans out there that have a view on whether Ainsworth would be a good appointment to replace Harris, call us on 0208 70 20 558. Up next, we'll be talking all things Blackburn.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. Share your views on how your club is starting this new Championship season. We're going to be talking all things Blackburn now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Matt Holden, Blackburn fan and host of the 1875 podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Matt. Looking back at last weekend, a 4-2 loss away at QPR, pretty exhilarating game. Did Blackburn deserve to take anything away from that game, or was that one of those high-scoring affairs where realistically Blackburn would have been lucky to take something?
Good afternoon, Kieran. Thanks for having me on the show. It was a very disappointing result, and I don't think we kind of got anywhere near QPR. They were very kind of effective in the way that they set their stall out from the off, really. And it's just kind of very disappointing kind of result for us, really. I know that when we spoke last week, it was very high in confidence that we might actually pick something up from that game, given that, you know, obviously we'd had a setback against Luton Town, and then we kind of snatched a draw from the kind of the jaws of victory, really, with the draw against Nottingham Forest. But with thinking that we might obviously then get back on a winning run that saw us beat, you know, Reading the other week there as well. So personally, I was quite disappointed, but from seeing, you know, extensive highlights of the game and, a lot there, we hardly got anywhere near QPR. And, what QPR were doing was was coming off a lot more effectively, really.
Another big blow from that game for Blackburn is the news that defender Darragh Lenihan has been ruled out for 6 to 8 weeks after picking up a knee injury. A scan also revealed his sustained damage to his hamstring. How big a blow is that going to be for Rovers to not have him available for potentially the next couple of months?
It's massive, Kieran. It's massive there. I mean, coupled that with Craig Cunningham, who's been on loan from Cardiff, he's sustained, you know, an ACL. So that's a big blow, because ever since Cunningham's come in, he's sort of like become a mainstay in the team. But just go back to Lenihan, you know, a lot of eyes, a lot of kind of fans' hopes have been pinned on Lenihan, you know, to be a future captain of the club. And it's just, it's so unfortunate. He just seems to get injured. And, it, you know, it's not like 1 or 2 weeks. It's these 6 to 8 week layoffs now. You know, it is a big blow, but it is what it is. And, you know, he was out for a similar amount of time last season. And, you know, I think that coincided with our sort of like dip in form. It's obviously everyone's, I assume now, is obviously going to be looking towards Tosin Adebayo, who's on loan from City, to hopefully he can kind of like stake a claim in. We've still got Derek Williams, who was called up into the Ireland squad this week off the back of Lenihan and Cunningham being ruled out for injury. So hopefully he can get over his own injury problems and help us out at the back, because obviously we've let Charlie Mugu go off to Wigan on loan. But then again, he's had a terrible time with Scotland this week there as well. So we are going to be obviously looking towards Tosin, I think, and perhaps the likes of, you know, Joel Grayson and perhaps another couple of the younger lads to come in and you know, shore us up, because we've started leaking goals again for on Saturday, and you know, a couple of others where we've leaked goals as well. So it's very concerning to be a Rovers fan, especially defensive wise anyway.
As you mentioned there, in terms of the defensive issues, it's only 2 clean sheets all season so far. Is that a systemic problem, a deeper lying root of the problem with the defence, or is it kind of more a case of individual errors at just the wrong time?
It's a mix of both, Kieran, to be honest. I don't think we've had a very stable defence for quite a number of seasons. I can't think off the top of my head that we kind of had a rock solid defence that's hardly going to concede any goals. You know, we've always kind of had a shaky back line, so to speak. And I thought with the Derek Williams and Darragh Lenihan partnership that we sort of kind of like found that stability, that kind of rock. Obviously, the Christian Walton in behind them there as well, replacing David Raya, went off to Brentford. But it's always been a very underlining issue, and a lot of teams have kind of took advantage of that. And it's a deep concern to fans at the moment that, you know, we're having to wait perhaps to get reinforcements in the window, because I think we probably at least need at least 1 or 2 senior signings at the back. You know, so it is just going back to your original question, I think it's a very worrying time.
One man that's been in impressive form this season, as he has been for the last few years, Bradley Dack, 5 goals, 2 assists. Do you think there's an over-reliance upon him from this Blackburn side, that if he isn't the source of inspiration, if he doesn't do special things, then the side struggle to do things around him?
I mean, it's took him a bit to get going, I think, this season, more so than perhaps last season, Kieran, to be honest. He started well. Perhaps he was a bit of a jack-in-the-box at the start of the last season, championship-wise, because obviously that was his first season at level. I think a few clubs have realised that if they want to stop Blackburn playing or being creative through the middle of the park, they're going to have to, you know, take care of Dackie. And he's coming to a bit of his own the last couple of weeks. As you said, there are a couple of goals, a couple of assists there as well. He started to fire. But it still seems to be a bit crowded out on games. You know, there still seems to be like doubling up on him and, you know, trying to, you know, knock him off his game, really. So, yeah, I think we are again kind of over reliance on him, but I think we do have kind of a good wide sanctioning Adam Armstrong. You know, he can play on the left, can play on the right, cut in and score a couple of goals himself. So I think that effectiveness of Blackburn sort of like middle creative spark needs to be kind of shared away from Daki, really. So yeah, and I do hope he just continue with that, you know, because it certainly does help. But he needs support as well further afield, and so far we've not had that either. You know, we've struggled to score some goals as well. So yeah, I mean that's probably where we'd leave Daki, and hopefully he can get kind of you know, a bit further up a pitch and score some more goals and create some more assists for us.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Matt. That was Matt Holden, Blackburn fan and host of the 1875 podcast. It's been a come see, come sass start to the season for Blackburn. Pretty much mid-table, 14th after 11 games on 14 points. So an okay start for Blackburn, but still a long way to go. They need to improve the defensive problems early in the season. They conceded 4 against QPR on the weekend and only have 2 clean sheets in 11 games so far. So defensively, Tony Mowbray's side need to improve.
This is Love Sport.